I want to discuss the meaning of the name Adam, and this might be 1,500 words, and then I got maybe one more discussion after this. So this program, I hope my throat holds out because it's scratchy as hell, and I want to cough so bad. But, wow. Okay. But I'm trying like hell not. The meaning of the name Adam. I've expounded on this subject even beyond what I had written in my commentary on Genesis chapter 2, and I would like to present it here so that I would also have a short recording on this subject alone. In Scripture, Adam is the word used as both the name for the race of men which Yahweh God had created, as it is explained in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, and in Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, and also of the first member of that race, the patriarch Adam, in Genesis chapter 2. And here I will fully define the name and offer a prophetic meaning, which only struck me a few weeks ago, for real. So, what follows is extracted from part 2 of my commentary on Genesis, titled The Society of Family, and a comment I made there on November 13th. And recently, I have edited a section of that presentation to amend for some missing information. So it is now expanded beyond what is found in the podcast as well as the forum posts, because this current article on the meaning of the name Adam is actually from a forum post I made back on, I think, November 4th, something like that. The information below is not in the same order as it appears in the Genesis 2 presentation. I swapped a few paragraphs around so that it would make sense apart from the rest of the context, right? In Strong's Concordance, there are 6 entries for the Hebrew term Adam, and they are only distinguished in such a manner, according to the parts of speech or how they are used in Scripture. So there is a verb, 2 common nouns, an adjective, and 2 proper nouns, which are the name Adam and the later name Edom. The common nouns are first man in reference to the Adamic man, and then another which was used to describe one or more red gemstones. Of the remaining forms in his original concordance, James Strong defined the adjective as rosy, and the verb as to show blood in the face, i.e., flush or turn rosy, i.e., for example, id est. That is what it means, id est. That is, I think, I'm sure about that. Okay, I'll leave it at that. Et al, I think, is for example. No, et al is and others, et alia. I'm sorry, I'm confused. While identity Christians are often mocked for citing those definitions, and while more recent lexicons have modified them to suit the diversity agenda, James Strong did not manufacture these definitions when he first published Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible in 1890. The popular Brown, Driver, and Briggs Hebrew and English Lexicon of the Old Testament is said to have been based upon the Hebrew and German lexicon of Wilhelm Jesenius, which was translated into English in the 19th century by Edward Robinson. But in some places, it diverges sharply from Jesenius. And one of them is in its definition of the Hebrew word Adam. Wilhelm Jesenius began publishing his first Hebrew lexicons in German before 1815. And Edward Robinson, who was also an acquaintance of Jesenius, and who had thought quite highly of him, first published his English translation of Jesenius's Hebrew lexicon in 1836. Over the decades leading up to this, Robinson did much work in Greek and other languages with other scholars. These men did not have some sort of nefarious neo-Nazi or racist agenda when they published these magnificent tomes, books which became foundational for understanding biblical Hebrew, along with Robinson's Greek lexicon, which was also published in 1836. Then in 1837, Robinson was appointed as professor of biblical literature at Union Theological Seminary in New York City. So when you tell people that Adam means to be red or ruddy, and they say, oh, you must be in the Klan or something stupid like that, well, Edward Robinson, a theological seminary professor, he wasn't in the Klan, not New York. No, he wasn't in the Klan. He didn't have any agenda. So in Robinson's translation of Jesenius' Hebrew lexicon, under the first entry for the word Adam, which is the verb on page 13, we read, to be red, ruddy. And after supplying a citation from Jeremiah's Book of Lamentations, it states that whiteness and ruddiness belong to the description of youthful beauty. Other definitions of the verb are made red, dyed red, citing passages from Exodus, Isaiah, and Nahum, and to be red as wine in a cup, to sparkle, citing Proverbs 23:31. At the end of his definition for the verb, I defined this myself when I only had Strong's Concordance. I wish I had Jesenius when I was back in prison for studying these things. At the end of his definition for the verb, the reader is referred to the word dam, which is blood. And that's why Adam means red, because dam means blood. But I'll get into that further at the end here this evening. Another translator of Jesenius's Hebrew lexicon was Samuel Predell Tregellis, who was born in Falmouth in Cornwall, England, to Quaker parents in 1813. He received an education at the Falmouth Classical School from 1825 to 1828. Later, he received an LLD degree, that's a Doctor of Laws, from the University of St. Andrews in Scotland in 1850. Tregellis seems to be the most distinguished for his early work in textual criticism of the New Testament. Understanding that the Textus Receptus did not rest, and it doesn't, on truly ancient authorities. Then later, as he also completed and published a Hebrew grammar in 1852, he translated the Latin edition. Now, Robinson translated the German edition of Jesenius' lexicon, but Tregellis translated the Latin edition into English, which was published in 1846 and 1857. And I didn't put it in the notes here or in my Genesis podcast. In my Genesis podcast, I was missing some information. I was quoting Tregellis's lexicon and speaking only about Robinson, which is why I had to amend it. I must have lost something in my notes in preparation for the commentary, because that's a pretty glaring digression, and I didn't make it on purpose. So a pretty glaring conflict, and I didn't make it on purpose. So I must have lost something in my notes, and I noticed that a few weeks ago, and I went back and repaired it. I rewrote it to be correct. So in Tregellis's translation of Jesenius's Hebrew lexicon, under the first entry for the word for Adam, now this is a Quaker, not a Nazi, which is the verb, on page 13, we read, to be red, ruddy. And after supplying a citation from Jeremiah's Book of Lamentations, it states that whiteness and ruddiness belong to the description of youthful beauty. So that must have been in Jesenius's original, because he's saying the same thing that Robinson said when he translated Jesenius's German into English. Other definitions of the verb are made red, dyed red, citing passages from Exodus, Isaiah, and Nahum, and to be red, to sparkle, citing the same passage in Proverbs 23:31. And at the end of his definition for the verb, the reader is referred to the word dam, which is blood. Likewise, we may see how these words were translated into ancient Greek or Latin. For example, in the Song of Solomon, or Canticles, in chapter 5, we read, when a bride speaks of her husband, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. There the word is translated as ruddy, the word translated as ruddy is a form of this word Adam. And in the Greek Septuagint, it was translated as purus, an adjective which means fiery red. So there should be no doubt that Adam simply does not mean man, as there were other Hebrew words which do mean man. But rather, Adam is a descriptive term which is later applied to all of his descendants, as well as to the first man, Adam. We may call adult male hominids of other races man, but they can never properly be called Adam. That's the end of my citation from my Genesis chapter 2 presentation. In grammar, when a Hebrew verb is prefixed with the letter aleph, or it signifies the first person singular future tense of the verb. When a Hebrew noun is prefixed with the same letter, it is said to simply designate I. And in the notes, I will have a link here to a website, which is a pretty good reference, and to Wikipedia also, but to a website that has a whole list of these letters in Hebrew used as prefixes or suffixes on nouns and on verbs and adjectives and what they mean. So when you see dom, you see blood. But when you see Adam, that letter aleph means I when it is prefixed on a noun, and it means I, blood. So therefore, the word Adam describes blood personified as man. But in the Genesis context, the meaning is valid only in reference to the blood of his own particular kind. Therefore, Adam exemplifies his race, which would later come in the form of his own descendants. And therefore, throughout Scripture, the children of Israel called themselves collectively by his name. Unfortunately, we have translated the word into a common noun, which we also apply to other male hominids. And that has caused much confusion, and once again helps the enemies of our God to promote their diversity agenda. At the website Discover the Holy Language, there is an article titled Common Hebrew Prefixes and Suffixes, where we read in part, and this is a third witness to what I'm saying, that will be linked in the notes. The prefix aleph means I. The original meaning of this letter is source, which made it ideal for conventional use as a prefix meaning I, referring to who is the source of what being spoken. So we would assert that while Adam is, as a common word, means red or ruddy, because dam in Hebrew is blood, the word was nevertheless formed from dam, affixed with the letter aleph as a prefix, I, blood, Yahweh informing us that the blood of the Adamic man was from of him. Later in Scripture, in Leviticus chapter 17, we read, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. The blood of the second or last man, Adam, which is Yahshua Christ, certainly did make an atonement for the entire Adamic race, of which those old covenant sacrifices were symbolic. The Adamic race being born from of God, being the only race of hominids in the creation accounts of Yahweh God, Yahshua Christ being God incarnate is both the Son and the Father, and assumed full responsibility for his creation in his earthly ministry. He is the true patriarch. And here in this creation account, which begins in verse 4 of Genesis chapter 2, we see the foundations for a society of family, the Adamic family. This society of family is based on a common blood, even if Adam did not say it quite in that same manner himself. The name Adam is a prophecy. On November 13th, I added the following to part 2 of my Genesis, the Society of Family commentary as a comment. It's all the way at the bottom of the page. Yesterday morning, November 12th, I was pondering the fact that the name Adam in Hebrew means I, blood. And it dawned on me that the name itself is a prophecy of the Messiah. That Yahweh named Adam. Yahweh named Adam, called his name Adam. In such a way, because Yahweh himself would ultimately be the firstborn among many brethren, Romans 8:29, and has taken upon himself of the offspring of Abraham, Hebrews 2:16. So where we read that Yahweh God called their name Adam by saying, I, blood, he had announced that he would take part in that same blood. So Adam, the name, is the ultimate prophecy of Yahshua Christ.